This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Jabroni Pumpleduck.
Jabroni Pumpleduck.
People being mad at Dave for being a crazy sports fan is like people being mad at Gallo for being a strikeout machine. He is who he is, and we shouldn't expect anything else.
Nothing I can do! First down! Oh my God!
Couldn't have said it better myself.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
The Gallo of sports talk radio. That didn't sound right. Anyway, I'll be back.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, I love this song. You know, here's the thing. You get so down on Santiago, and you think to yourself, he's playing this music that nobody cares about. It doesn't move the needle. And then the 7 o'clock hour, like the pinnacle moment on the show for the day, and you remember the greatness that has won Raymond Santiago. I used to listen to this song so much. And is there a big game that you walk into that you don't hear this just blaring over the speakers? And this has got to be like 30 years old now. Right? I think it's 91. I remember being in my car driving home from high school, pulling into my driveway and hearing this song for the first time and thinking, I don't know what this is, but this is amazing. I love this song. I loved it then. I love it now. Thank you, Raymond.
Were you a big Van Halen guy at that point?
I always loved Van Halen.
So you had no idea. And then when you found out it was Van Halen.
Yeah, I know. I like literally, because it wasn't today where a song gets released and you online, you know, and they tell you who it's going to be and everything. Like, I'm driving home. I remember this distinctly. Driving home from school. Here we go. That's actually appropriate now. Windows down in my Honda Accord hatchback. All right. Pull into the driveway, and this song, like just the opening, like you just played, is on the radio. And I said to myself, I can't get out of the car until I hear the entirety of the song. This is an unbelievable song. And then once it started, I was like, this sounds like Van Halen. And then I was listening like 102.7 WNEW when they used to play, you know, I don't even know what they are now, but they used to play great music. And they told it's Van Halen, it's the new album, Carnal Knowledge, and wow, that what a song that is. And it stands the test of time. I used to listen to that so much that you can't break a CD. The CD broke. It broke. It was like only a psychotic could break a CD because you listened that much. I listened that much to a level that was probably inappropriate. All right, 1-800-919-3776. DPHRO Rothenberg is always, and Rick not with us again today. We're hoping that he's back tomorrow, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm told we're in a day-to-day situation. So hopefully he feels better later today, wakes up tomorrow, we get the Thursday open, and we move ahead. But I can't make that guarantee, and you'll have to tune in tomorrow to see what in actuality happens. All right, in actuality, what you have right in front of you people is a baseball team that is playing great baseball. And I understand your concerns of we've seen this before and there could be issues and they've gotten out to great starts, but not like this. Not like this where it tell me it doesn't feel differently to you. The Mets are not coming back winning that game one the way they did yesterday, last year, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. They're just not. San Francisco is the equivalent. San Francisco is an elite team. If I asked you to rank the top teams in all of baseball, the Giants are right there. And I thought to myself coming into the series, if I go 2-2, I'll take it. And even if I go 2-2, I'm not going to be horrified now. It's not what you want after winning the first two. But they've proven to me, 12 games in, they're legit, they're for real. So I look at the Dodgers, I look at the Blue Jays, I look at the Astros, I look at the White Sox, I look at the Rays, I look at the Giants. Like, they are of that ilk, of that echelon, where they're one of those teams. And to go out there, and they play a good brand of baseball, and they were better than you early in game one. And that's the thing that I think has to give you such hope, is that the Giants came out yesterday and beat up on McGill. But McGill, almost like someone wise beyond his years, was able to stay in the game, got better as the game went on. And by the time he left after six, you thought to yourself, boy, this is a guy that's really pitching well. So he closed out the game well. Now, the numbers won't tell you he was great. He wasn't great, but he was good enough that he got it done. So you feel good about that. You trail 4-1. You know how good the Giants are. You know how good their bullpen can be. And you get three runs. You tie the game at four. You get the run late. You get the great play from Alonso, and you win the game. Now, how many teams, this Mets team, any team, would you look at and say to yourself, you got the one win, it's almost house money, whatever happens in game two, happens in game two. But that's not what happens, just the opposite. Because Max Scherzer, who is a horse, is the only word I can even think to describe him, goes out there, phenomenal. And I don't want to even turn this into a Yankees thing, but all I will say is, it felt to me yesterday like Max Scherzer was exactly what you desperately wanted from Gerrit Cole. Bad weather, miserable conditions, go out there and light him up. And he was not great his first two starts. He wasn't. He got wins in his first two starts, but I don't think you saw the best of what Max Scherzer can give you. You saw elite Max Scherzer last night. And what I love about, I mean, I can't tell you how much I love it, is that I believe there's like a moment where he looked at himself in the mirror before the game and said, we just used our bullpen. We just went extra innings. I need to go 100 pitches and seven innings and give something like a one-run performance. And it's exactly what he did. And I thought he was kind of losing it in the sixth a little bit. And that there was a chance that they decided after six, you know what, we'll go to the pen. Nope. Trot me out there for one more inning, does really well in the seventh. You only need two innings from the bullpen. How you couldn't love this Mets team. And if the only reason that you're scared to let yourself go is because it's happened in the past where this thing has fallen off the rails, let yourself go. It's okay to love again. And how great has Lindor been? He's been exactly what you thought you got last year. Last year, you were disappointed. This year, you are not. Big hits, stealing bases, diving plays. I mean, he's doing everything that you hoped. Clubhouse leader, emotional leader, nobody more fired up. This is good stuff from the Mets. So the only reason I think that you could call, and the phone line's open with the Mets, 1-800-919-3776. It's a big day for them. And then you turn around today, and you got Bassett on the mound, who's pitching to an ERA of less than one? It's phenomenal, is what it is to be a Mets fan right now. If the only thing that you can't let yourself go is because in the past it has just found a way to fall apart, let yourself go. It's okay to fall in love with this team. They're going to be good. They're not going anywhere. And remember, this is without Nimmo in game one. Canna's still out of the lineup. They're doing it with Jankowski. And they look good by doing it. And they look like they are one of the better teams in baseball. And I don't think that's going to change the entirety of the season. Here is Buck Showalter after the game on Lindor's, thank God, by the way, fast start to this season.
Many ways he contributed tonight in both games. Peterson, the play he made in the ninth, he just kind of looked over at the dugout and went, of course, that's him. He would react to a lot of things. So he's a contributor in a lot of facets of the game. He's fun to watch. He's in a good place. Quick to smile. Doesn't take himself too seriously.
He's right. How many guys around baseball can contribute on the bases, with the glove, with the bat, as an emotional leader? How many? Not a lot. Not a lot. He can. Aaron Judge can. He's the one Yankee that can contribute like that. Now, I don't think he's given you moments this year like Lindor gave you yesterday. Lindor did everything. Came up with huge hits, ran the bases, made the plays in the field. You see him out there keeping it light, emotional leader. He's giving you every single thing you could possibly want. And how great is it to have a manager like Buck Showalter? I didn't even realize how much we needed Buck until you get him. Right? Like you're in bad relationships for years. And then you finally with the person, you're like, wait a minute. It's supposed to be like this. Yeah, it's supposed to be like this. Isn't it nice? Isn't it refreshing to be the team that other clubs look at right now and say, that's a good ball club? That's what you are. This is a good ball club. 1-800-919-3776. And then you trot Bassett out there, and then tomorrow Carrasco. All this is happening without, I don't even think it's up for debate, the best pitcher in baseball. Now, I don't know if and when you get him back, but all this is happening without the best pitcher in baseball. Think about this for a second. And I know it's early, but I don't think I'm jumping the gun. Can you imagine what this team would look like in the postseason if DeGrom is back and healthy? DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett as your top three? That's as good as any team has ever had. Forget about currently. Any team has ever had top three in a short series. Kyle in New Haven. Kyle, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kyle.
I got a quick question about my favorite team of all time, the Mets. We have a good problem right now with all this pitching, but when DeGrom comes back, do you think we should go to a six-man rotation?
I don't know. Let me see where we're at. I would say no, but I'm not going to absolutely give you a definitive, there's no chance of that. Let me see where we're at. Right? I mean, are they in the heat of a race? Do they have a comfortable lead in the National League East? I don't know. But again, these are beautiful problems to have. I mean, you're doing this without DeGrom, and you're doing this without Taijuan Walker at the moment. So two guys that you weren't even relying on in McGill and Peterson are now part of your staff. And again, and this is the great thing, the backdrop is you guys go take care of business. And when there's a piece you need, because someone's going to become available, right? Teams are going to drop out of this thing. So if there's someone in the bullpen, because I think the Mets could use another really good arm in the bullpen. And when that guy becomes available, or there's a starter, I don't even know that they would need a starter, unless I don't even want to go there. But I will provide that for you, because I have more money and we have more resources than anybody. It really is. I mean, to think about where this organization was 3 years ago and where this organization is at the moment is nothing short of incredible. Honestly, it's like a dream, right? It's like manna from heaven, isn't it? Like this is dropped down and you're like, wait a minute. I have an owner that has more money than anybody. I have maybe the most accomplished manager in baseball, a guy that you feel the most confident and comfortable with. I have a starting rotation, which is second to none. Yeah, I'll go to battle every day with that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
RJ, to be honest, I'm a scooch, which means very little disappointed with you right now.
I think I know why, but I stand firm.
If you tell me why, I would be shocked. Go ahead, why?
Oh, I thought it was going to be what we talked about with the break, at the break, but I guess not. So I really don't know then.
Because yesterday I told you that I wanted to get into two reviews of one TV show and one movie.
Yeah.
And you completely didn't remind me or refresh me or write it down and have that ready to go today.
Listen, I was keeping today's to-do list. I had giant stories to remind you of. We had Stump Rothenberg. Who's to say I wouldn't have reminded you? You don't know.
Well, we only have like 40 minutes left of the show and you didn't remind me yet.
It could have been coming. You don't know.
And one of the reviews that I'm going to give you actually has a very timely story going on around it.
The movie or the TV show?
The TV show.
Would you like to give it now? Is that where you're going with this?
No, no, I don't.
So
I won't.
Now you're not going to do it.
No, now we're do it tomorrow. No, I will do it at 7:50 this morning. How's that?
Do I have to remind you of that?
Maybe.
7:50.
7:50.
All right.
Reviews, analysis over the TV show as well. How about this? Michael Alba Lamb. Rothenberg, ESPN, holding it down as usual. He's no longer leading the pound-for-pound conversation. He is a true heavyweight. Get well soon,
There's
Rick.
No anchor today.
That was yesterday, no anchor.
I just said you were the meal, baby.
Yeah, I'm the meal, baby. All right, let's get to your Mets calls. Then we'll get to the Yankees. I will, before we get to the Yankees, let me just throw this out there. 1-800-919-3776. As a Yankees fan, how do you feel? I mean, you're above 500. You got the win yesterday. You struggled against Baltimore. Your ace looks anything but ace-like. Your offense is almost non-existent. Your bullpen has been great. Your other four starters have been good. How do you feel right now about the Yankees? We'll get to that in a moment. 800-919-3776. Juan in Bethlehem. Juan, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am great, Juan. How are you?
I have 2 points. First of all, Rick brings out the best in you, let me tell you. So I think he's greatly missed. So
now let me see if I understand. So you're saying the show has been awful and without Rick,
No. I said the show being perfect.
Oh.
It gets better with Rick because he brings out like an entertainment.
Well, Juan, let me ask you this. How can it get better than perfect?
Extra perfect.
Oh, okay. All right, extra perfect. Fair enough.
All right. So last year, you remember with the Knicks, you were excited. You remember what happened
at the beginning of the season?
Yes.
Yeah, when they were 5-1, I think we were all excited. Yes.
I actually called you, told me to let go and just let go. Now let's enjoy.
What happened to Juan? Something terrible happened to Juan. I think Juan was attempting to say, let's not get too excited with the Mets. That's very different. I mean, I never for a moment thought that the Knicks were going to be a great team. I never for a moment thought the Knicks were an upper echelon team. I thought the Knicks were going to be a 45-win team. Now, I was wrong, and I'll be the first to admit it, but I don't think I'm the only one that was actually wrong. But this Mets team is like legitimately good. Marte adds a dimension which they haven't had. That first run yesterday where he gets a flare hit, then steals second, thrown away on an error, and scores on a ball that gets 4 feet away from the catcher? I mean, that is the definition of manufacturing a run, isn't it? To do it in that moment, in that situation, was phenomenal. And that's the thing. They put pressure on the other team. And they haven't done that in a long time. How could you not like Escobar? How can you not like Canna? How can you not like Marte? How can you not like Scherzer? We talked about the Mets having had a big-time offseason. Maybe we didn't discuss how good, in fact, it was. Kevin in Queens. Kev, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing, brother?
Good. What's going on, pal?
Good. Hey, listen, man, just real quick. You definitely got the best program on the station, man. You're the meal, baby.
I'm the meal, baby.
That's right. Don't let people forget that. Listen, the Mets, real quick, I think I'm a Mets fan just like you. I think we literally, when the Powerball and the Mega Millions or something like that was like $1 billion a few years ago, that's what the Mets fans won when Steve Cohen bought the team. Like, that's us. We hit the jackpot. We hit the jackpot, and, you know, he's running the team the way it needs to be run. We have his great analytic team. We have the depth that we've always needed. We're not shopping in the fruits and nuts section. Scott Boris, all right? You know, we got the real depth. We have a real team. But I agree with the last caller. I've been a fan my whole life. I'm 40 years old. Never seen this before with this consistency or this much hope. You know, the 80s and then those early 2000 teams, which is kind of like what Marte reminds me of, like a little Jose Reyes, but with more power, the way he manufactured that run. But let's see where we are June, July, because that's where we always historically crash. Let's see where we are with injuries. Let's see where we are. But I like this team a lot, and hopefully it's sustainable, right? He wants to win multiple championships. Let's see what we got.
Right. Listen, it's a fair call. And I get that you're going to have that. Thanks for the call, Kevin. You're going to always have that hanging over your head. It always falls apart. July, August. We led the division the entirety of the season last year and it fell apart. There's nothing I can do. I can't change your mind on April 20th. The only thing I can sit here and tell you is I'm telling you it's different. It's different. You have a manager that hands out the lineup card where you're not sitting there thinking to yourself, oh my God, are we going to have an automatic out because he doesn't know what he's doing? Or I mean, look what they did. It's a different feel now surrounding the Mets. Apparently, the clubhouse and locker room were an embarrassment last year. Already, it's different. Buck adds a level of maturity and seniority that they haven't had. And now you brought it. I mean, Scherzer, too. I mean, how could you watch Max Scherzer take the mound, do what he does, and be immature? Really? I mean, this is a guy that he is as well-schooled and well-versed and capable and competent as any professional player in any sport right now. And he leads by example. I mean, you saw him in the dugout last night. He's no nonsense. And you think it's coincidental that the team gets out to this kind of start? And now you follow it up with Bassett and then Carrasco? And at some point, you got to figure, and probably not too far into the future, at some point, you got to figure Walker's going to come back, and then you hold your breath. Because they can exist without DeGrom. They can be elite, elite, elite if DeGrom comes back and he's what he's been. And the beautiful thing about it is, when we get to the point that we're trade deadline, you think they're not going to be active shoppers? That they won't add money, go over a threshold, take someone else's problem on? A team that's done that wants to dump salary? We welcome that. Like the Statue of Liberty with that here now with the Mets. They've gone from nickel and diming everyone. We'll trade you our best prospect to get a real closer and take on a guy that we probably shouldn't take on. That is done. That is, and you're still actually having to deal with that. But those days are done. Stand up, feel proud. Feel good. And that doesn't mean they're going to win every game, but it's different now. And unfortunately, it feels like it's not different with the Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
If he's not back with us tomorrow, RJ, he'll record a show opener.
Good Thursday morning.
What will we do?
I think you would have to open it in his honor.
It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates.
Sound bites and drops and everything?
I think so. You'd have to call in and go on the... See, the only problem is Rick and Ray go into their secret Zoom room.
Yeah, their fans-only room.
And I think it's called OnlyFans, Dave.
Whatever.
And here's the problem, though. That would leave just me.
Well, why don't you join us in the room?
I think it's only... It's Santee's... shindig, you know what I mean?
I got to tell you, there's no rule that says that there's people that can't be in the room. Everyone can be in the room.
I don't want to be in the room because I don't want to spoil the open.
Okay, so it's your choice. So you mock it as the secret little Zoom room, but it's your choice to not be in there.
I will say I don't feel super welcome because Dave sometimes...
I feel the same way. I feel like they are, in some way, whether they admit it or not, they don't want us there and they exclude us intentionally.
You turned this around on me. This was all your fault. This was your choice.
Sometimes before you log on, it'll just be me, Ray, and Rick, and Rick will go, okay, Santee, you want to hop into the other room? And so now it's just me waiting for you.
Right.
And it's sad.
It's troubling. Really. I couldn't agree with you more. I don't know. Maybe we do something different tomorrow morning if he's not with us. We'll figure it out. And no matter what it is, it will be a very special Thursday open. All right, guys. 1-800-919-3776. Here's my take. How you can be a Yankees fan now, and both of these guys are Yankees fans, so I'll ask them and then we'll move on to you guys, and feel good about where the team is beyond me. Now, you win last night. You won on Saturday. You won the two games against Boston, and you split the series against Toronto. Watching what the Yankees have done for the last four games, the loss on Friday to Baltimore where you got one run in 11 innings, falling behind on Saturday, coming back and winning, getting blanked on Sunday, last night's performance. RJ, how can you feel good, confident, anything positive about the Yankees right now?
I'll answer this in a serious manner because, yes. I mean, we went over all the issues this team has. But if you want to feel good, here's what I will say. They've given up the fewest runs in the American League. The pitching,
their bullpen. Actually, their starters outside of Cole have been phenomenal, too.
We're living in a world of, hopefully, I mean, if Cole is this bad all year, then, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You're looking at a sunk cost. But
there's no way that Gerrit Cole is this pitcher. He's not going to be a 6.5 ERA all the way through the season. He will get better as the season goes on. He has to.
So they've given up the fewest runs in the American League. Who's the reliever on the Yankees that you feel the most uneasy about right now?
Nobody, but maybe Chapman.
Exactly. So your highest paid starter and your highest paid reliever are the ones that you're most off kilter with. So you'd like to think they play to the back of their baseball card. That levels itself out over the course of a year, you hope. If those two things don't happen, they can overcome Chapman. They cannot overcome Cole.
And the lineup?
The lineup where you look at their 9 players for 8 positions.
See, I know the K show goes wild about that. I don't think that's that big a deal.
No,
at some point, someone's going to get hurt.
Someone will get hurt or you just start sitting guys. Listen, Gleyber Torres, who owns Baltimore, was awful in Baltimore. Went 0 for the series.
Awful in Baltimore, and he sat last night.
Exactly. You start to sit the guys that need to sit. No more rest for, you know, it's scheduled day out. You work in rest where you can, but the guys that are not playing well need to sit.
Yes. That being said, where are you with this team right now?
I think the team will look differently in August. I think if Cashman, and I guess this rounds out my positivity tour, he's pretty good at being aware of what they don't do well, but I don't know that they're going to be able to go out there and fix themselves in the trade market.
Here's what I would say to that point. You say he's pretty aware. Was he not aware this offseason what they didn't do well and go remedy it instead of bringing back this almost the same exact team for this season?
He's loyal to this core of guys, it seems. And now he came off of that.
But he traded Sanchez.
He's come off of that a little bit, but Sanchez has been around a long time. He signed his signing bonus when he was, what, like 14 or 15?
I get it, but my God, it's so stubborn.
Yeah, it takes him a long time to move off his guys.
But was Joey Gallo one of his guys?
No, Gallo's just...
Gallo's just bad, no?
Gallo doesn't look like a big league ball player. He's hitting... 121, I think.
But
you
not
said.
Only, listen, guys get off to awful starts. I get it. Right, we're 2 weeks into the season. It happens.
He has 15 strikeouts and 33 at-bats.
I mean, he strikes out every at-bat. He looks absolutely lost up there.
That's a problem with today's baseball. A lot of these guys play.
But he goes above and beyond that.
No, I agree, because when you play no contact baseball and, you know, three true outcomes, you know, two of those outcomes don't involve contact. And when you're not hitting the ball and not hitting home runs, you don't look like a big league ball player, and that's where they're at.
And it feels like it's spiraling out of control with him. So that's RJ. I mean, that was nice. A little tour of positivity on a Wednesday morning. Good for you, RJ. You're going to be such a good parent.
You think so?
I do. It's like, well, Stevie vomited all over the wall. It's okay. It means that his digestive system is working, and he's eating, you know what it means? He's eating food.
I went to take my nap yesterday. We're watching my in-law's dog, a Shih Tzu, and the dog.
Say that on radio.
I think so.
Okay.
And so the dog was being wildly annoying when I was trying to take my nap.
Yeah, but you want wildly annoying dogs, pal?
Here's the difference between you and I thought of you. With one little dog, I can just pick it up and move it to a different part of our place. So I picked up the dog, physically moved it to a different part, closed the door, and rid myself of the problem.
Oh, it's amazing, these dogs.
Your dogs are large.
Oh, they're large, they're strong.
You have
they're
like
mean.
Yeah, you have I like
this,
you,
this
you
was like, the choice.
I think they might be dumb.
They're dogs.
No, but most dogs can be somewhat intelligent. I think she might be really, really dumb.
Your problem is I'm dealing with like a third down back, like a smaller dog. You're dealing with like two pulling guards.
No, I'm dealing with like the Cowboys offensive line in the early 90s is what I'm dealing with.
They're immovable.
Yeah, and you're dealing with like a scat back.
Yeah.
The J.D. McKissick of dogs.
Yeah.
Well, I've got Evan Neal and Ikwunu over here.
Just road graders.
Oh, God. All right, let's get to some of these Yankees calls. And then, I mean, RJ didn't remind me, but then, of course, we have the quick movie and TV show reviews and what's going on with one of those as well. Anthony in the Bronx. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Listen, Dave, if you're a Yankee fan, you have to be so wildly optimistic right now to think that what the Yankees are doing by being over 500 is going to be sustainable. I mean, they're just you look at Flushing and you look at the Mets, and how could you not be jealous of what's going on over there? They're fast. They're getting base hits. Scherzer's pitching absolutely lights out. And then you're here, and it's just like it's the same thing for years. It's base to base, and who's going to hit the home run? And if nobody does, you score maybe two runs. Garrett Cole's had an 8 ERA, I think, over his last 8 starts dating back to last year. He looks like one of those. He looks like one of those guys.
He's been bad. Now, you did say something I want to ask you about, though. You look at this as a 500 kind of team?
Absolutely.
Really?
I don't think. I was telling the gentleman who answered the phone.
That's RJ.
Yeah, I was asking him, how are the Yankees going to be, how are they going to win this division?
They're not. I don't think they're going to win the division, but there's a difference, and thanks for the call, Anthony, between winning the division and being a 500 team. See, you're a 500 team. You spend, $260 million? You spend $260 million, and you're not a playoff team. You have to make sweeping changes. Sweeping changes. I am not there. And how are they going to be a 90-win team? Because a lot of the teams are bad. I mean, Baltimore, they seem to somehow have their way with you, but, I mean, that's a bad team. There's bad teams around baseball. Really bad teams. You look at the American League. I mean, Cleveland is not good, and Kansas City is not good, and Detroit is lousy, and Minnesota's mediocre. Texas is bad. Baltimore is brutal. Now, the Yankees happen to be a division which is good. You know what the amazing thing is, too, right now? Is the Yankees are actually tied for first. Now, they lose tonight and other teams win and they could be in fourth. But as we sit here destroying the Yankees, they are sitting here tied for first. Imagine if they were like record-wise. Like imagine if they were 2-7. Or imagine if they were 3-8 right now. People would be, you know, running into traffic. They're 6-5. They've won 2 out of 3, and you feel like this is like it is brutal. And I understand why you feel like that. But boy, you guys are negative town. Aaron in the car. Good morning, Aaron. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, company. Just piggybacking on what the previous caller said. You look at the Mets and they play fundamentally sound baseball. They steal bases. They have good situational hitting, and that's not how this team is built. You know, the Yankees front office cares more about launch angle and exit velocity than Joey Gallo striking out in half his at-bats than guys that can, do all those things. I mean, going into the game last night, they were batting 130 with runners in scoring position. Like, long-term, like, I don't think – like, yeah, they'll get 90 wins. Maybe they'll get into the playoffs. But you're not winning a championship with a team that's built that way.
I think you're right. And I would also ask you this, and thanks for the call. Are there people out there that think the Yankees are going to win a championship? I mean, the hope has seemingly gone from we're going to get in and we have a chance to win to we might get in. We likely will get in. But I think the expectations kind of stop then. Is there anybody that looks at this team right now and says, yeah, no, this is a championship caliber club? I haven't heard a lot of that. Omar Manhattan. Omar, good morning. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? So I want to make a few points. So as far as how I feel as a Yankee fan, I feel exactly how I thought I was going to feel after this offseason. And after seeing the first few series, you know, all I'm thinking about is, you know, how much better they could have been if they would have made certain moves. But look, at the end of the day, this lineup, I mean, I've never seen a lineup, you know, in which from 1 through 9, people are hitting, you know, 180, 220, 190, 230. I mean, give me somebody that can hit, you know, 290, 300.
But they have those guys, Omar.
You can't win like
first,
that.
First of all, you're 11 games in. It's been freezing cold near at the beginning of the season. But, I mean, LeMahieu can easily hit 280. Judge can hit 280. Stanton's a pretty good hitter. Hicks has been hitting well lately. So I think that's a little bit unfair. I think the guys that are expected to hit, I think will hit. The guys that worry me are the guys like Kiner Falefa does not look good to me. He doesn't. And I understand he had a couple hits last night and stole a couple bases. He doesn't look good to me. Gallo, I can't believe you get to run Gallo out there every night. Gallo to me is unplayable. And every night it's Joey Gallo. You know, trot out there, played left field, bat fifth, bat sixth. Like, why? There's a, you know, you didn't realize it at the time, but there's a reason that Texas was like, you want Joey Gallo for very little? Take him. He's yours. He's just not good. Gene Fort Lee. Good morning, Gene. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning. I just want to say I do think the Yankees will make the wild card only because there's a third wild card team. But I do think that the team can still pick it up. I mean, the offense has been really, really struggling, but the pitching's been looking real dominant. I think, like you said, Hicks is looking real good. Judge is going to wake up with the bat. Stan's going to wake up with the bat. So I guess I'm one of those crazy Yankee fans that I still do think at the right time the Yankees can get hot and actually win the American League East.
I'll tell you what, if they do, I'd be impressed. I think that is a tall order right now. Now, Toronto hasn't been great yet. Boston, I think, is very flawed, and Tampa has been very pedestrian. But nothing about the Yankees so far has made me think this is a team that's better than those teams. Maybe that changes. Bullpen is great. Starting rotation outside of Cole has been very good. Speaking of very good, how about RJ? On my call screener, 750, reminder, bat movies and TV reviews. You're good. You're a hell of a producer, RJ. You do a very nice job. Let's call you out there and give you the credit that you deserve. Santi, by the way, you're 3 minutes away from 3 stars of the day. Okay, so a couple of things. So I guess it was Monday? Yeah, Monday. For God's sakes, you and the Wayback Music. I watched a lot of television. And in retrospect, like, it's like, wow, that's a lot of TV. So I watched a full 3 hours of American Idol. I watched Winning Time, which is phenomenal, by the way. And that's the first thing. And then I watched King Richard. So, I mean, I'm talking about 6 good hours of television. That's a good job by me. So Winning Time, firstly, they portray Kareem to be the most aloof, selfish guy in the world, although he's coming around a little bit to Magic Johnson in the series now. The series is cast so perfectly. Like, every time I see the Magic Johnson character, like, that's Magic Johnson. Like, you feel like the face is it lights up the room. He's got this great smile. It feels like you're watching Magic Johnson. And they introduced Larry Bird on Sunday of this week, or I watched it Monday. Oh, it's so good. Like, you feel like it's Larry Bird. But and Jerry Boss, played by, I guess it's John Reilly, excellent. Like, the acting is excellent. The casting is great. The Jerry West character. And they portray some of these guys to be just absolute fools. The Jerry West character, they portray him to be a miserable, awful guy. And who's haunted with the fact that he never got by the Celtics, which may or may not be true. But I guess Jerry West is so annoyed at his portrayal that he wants an apology from the writers of the series, which has, by the way, been renewed for year two on HBO. So I can't recommend it enough, and I think the casting is sensational. Although the one I have an issue with is Adrian Brody as Pat Riley does not move the needle for me. But Chick Hearn is not portrayed well, and Kareem is not portrayed well. Pat Riley is fine. Paul Westhead, awful. Jerry West, awful. So they really do take some liberal shots at some of these guys. So that's review one. Love it. Jerry West, very upset. I guess Kareem is upset also with the way he's portrayed. King Richard, I know he's been the topic of conversation. First of all, the story is remarkable. Even though he was so unlikable at the time, Richard Williams is, wow, what a focused guy. I didn't realize he wrote like a 78-page manifesto before Serena and Venus were born, outlining their lives and how it would go, and he turned them into champions. And he was kind of crazy, but brilliant as a parent. and demanded the best from them in every single thing. And I know that he's been a topic which has been very negative lately, but Will Smith as Richard Williams, it gets buried now. There's a reason he won the award for best actor. He was sensational. So I recommend both and highly. King Richard, Winning Time, watch them both. All right, let's bring him in. He's been good. Not great today, but good. Here is Santi with three stars.
Today's three stars. Number three.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for myself. I guess I haven't been that great today, but...
No, I said you've been good.
I'll tell you who, I'll tell you who has been great today. It's RJ. This is a resume-type show for RJ, as you've said. He's pointed out all the teasers that you had to pay off. He's put them there for you. He's had a lot of good insight today. He showed why he'd be a good parent, took care of the poor little Shih Tzu.
I don't think you can say that on the radio.
It's a breed of dog, Dave. It's okay. Fine.
All right. I'm just looking out for you guys and your best interest. Go ahead.
Although the poor little dog, while RJ's picking him up, probably is wondering, what did I do wrong? I'm being locked in a room. Oh well. It's fine. RJ will be a great dad someday. I agree.
Number two.
New York baseball. Mostly the Mets, because like you've been saying all show, the Mets have been a big star because you're on the ship. You're a believer in this team. You think they're going to do well and go far.
I'll tell you what. I'm on the ship, and I'm taking my life vest off.
The Yankees, not so much. Garrett Cole, very bad day.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Man, I still make good pitches in the second inning, but when I needed to make one, I didn't make it.
Yeah, okay.
On you threw 70 pitches in two innings.
It's all the same story. The Yankees will try to mash everyone to death, and then when they play real good teams with real good pitching in the playoffs, they will fall flat again. So,
number one.
Actually, this one kind of stealth number one star, but you talked about Alex having a personal motivational speaker at the school and pointing out the importance of sportsmanship from parents and sports, and everyone looks at him. But I love that you stuck to your guns, and I kind of imagined you as it happened. Like, you know what? You're right. I don't apologize for it at all. I am who I am, and your friends will just have to accept it.
That's right, and I think that they have. I think that they have, and I think they understand this is the wild, savage maniac that is me. All right, Santi, very nice job. Speaking of very nice job, we're bringing Max Kellerman here. KJM comes your way in just 4 minutes on 98.7 ESPN.
You guys,
Max,
are sleeping on the Yankees pitching. Sleeping on the pitching.
I mean, the Yankees pitching, good. You're a Yankees guy, though. Something is not right with this team.
The whole thing, I mean, it was ridiculous conditions yesterday. Like, I'm not going to, you know, there was just a freaky deaky game, which they won. But Cole is a legit ace. Is he Jacob deGrom? No one is. But Max Scherzer, sure. He's like right there. And then the whole thing's going to come down to Severino. He was a top 5-6 pitcher in the AL over 2 years and then got hurt. He's coming back 5 innings the other day, no runs, struck out a bunch of guys, looked good. If Severino can get back to where he was, and there's no reason he can't, he's a young guy, throws 100 miles an hour, then before he got hurt, hardest average velocity on his fastball in the major leagues, then they got a real couple of hammers at the top of the rotation, and guys like Jordan Montgomery and stuff like that, as they get deeper, Nestor Cortez, a nice little lefty, they'll be able to pitch, but it hinges on Severino.
Yeah, Severino important. I agree with you. The starting pitching, Cole has been bad, but that's something that you have to think remedies itself as the season goes on. Bullpen has been phenomenal. I think they have some holes in that lineup. But yes, I agree with you. I think the Yankees are flawed, but will still wind up winning 90-plus games and getting in. Now, this is very exciting. You guys are doing a mock draft in a little bit, aren't you?
Oh, the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max mock draft. We had Mel... Exactly. We had Mel Kiper Jr. set it off with us. I don't know how other people do their mock drafts, but mama, I made it. I got Mel Kiper doing our mock. And we have not only people from like Alan Hahn picked for the Jets, etc. Every day we're doing, every show we're doing four more picks. Fans are calling in, making the picks for their teams. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, of course.
It must be. Now, I actually involved myself in this as well. I don't want to tip my hand, but I made the Giants second pick of the first round, the seventh overall selection.
By the way, I won't give it away, but I hear you did an excellent job.
I hate to toot my own horn, but I think I did a very good job.
Yeah.
What What do you need to see, Max? I know you're a big Giants fan. I know you've been as frustrated as anybody the last couple of years with the Giants, and rightfully so. What do you need to see? Like,
here's
are
the difference.
Picks?
I got to be honest with you guys. Okay, here's the difference now with the Giants. When Gettleman was in charge, I really thought I could do a better job than him. Right?
I think you could have.
Right?
I think you probably could have.
But now they're more competent people than you or I running the organization. Now I feel like I'm in good hands. So what do I think? But they would know better. What do I think they should do? I want 3 picks in the first round. I know they're thinking about next year, but I really believe in the absence of a great quarterback, you don't try to squint and see what you want to see. You don't try to wish him into existence. You build the architecture and get the furniture later. The architecture, to me, of a team starts with the offensive line. I want shock and awe. You like Thomas? Great. If Iquanu or Neal are available, you draft them. Then if a guy like Sauce or someone is there, an impact player in the defense, fine, go get him. But I also want Linderbaum. Well, we signed guys in the offseason. Great. Now you have a great and deep line. I want all pro level guys everywhere on the offensive line. I want starters backing them up. That's what I would do this offseason.
All right, Max, we got to run. So aside real quickly from the mock draft, which is coming up in just a moment on your show, what else is going to be talked about today, quick?
Well, the mock is really what we're thinking about. That's where my attention is. Of course, Brooklyn, Kyrie getting fined, we're going to get into that too.
Max, thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that, of course, is Max Kellerman. RJ, I need your help again. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's Dave and
Rothenberg
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.